الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه، فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. صدق الله العظيم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. After the killing of Amr bin Abdi Wud, the famous warrior of the Quraysh, the Kuffar decided that they would launch an attack on the Muslims all at once. So one morning before sunrise, they all proceed and they go near the trench and they surround the Muslims from all sides. So all over, all around the trench, the Kuffar had surrounded the Muslims. And obviously they could not proceed further because of the trench being in between. However, it was a very tense situation because they were trying and looking for every opportunity to attack. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to protect Medina Munawwara from the other side of the trench. And this continued for the entire day. The situation was so tense that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum could not leave their post. They could not move for a moment. And because of that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum could not perform the Zuhr, Asr and Maghrib Salah. In fact, the Isha Salah also, they could not perform it at the normal time. They had to delay the Isha Salah until the enemy moved back. And it was only then that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed that Adhan should be called out, Iqamat should be given. They made Qadha of the three Salah and then they performed the Isha Salah. When the disbelievers moved back from the trench, Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu still remained with 200 Sahaba radiallahu anhum protecting Medina Munawwara. Khalid bin Walid, who was still not a Muslim at that time, he came with a group, with a small group of the disbelievers, again looking for an opportunity to cross over and to cause harm and inflict harm and wounds on the Muslims. Among the people that were with him was Wahshi ibn Harb, who later on became a Sahabi radiallahu an. Wahshi radiallahu an was famous for his killing of Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu an. It was on this occasion that Wahshi radiallahu an attacked another Sahabi by the name of Tufail bin Nu'man radiallahu an in a similar manner as he had attacked Hamza radiallahu an in Uhud, and he had made the Sahabi a Shaheed. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha explains that I was in the fort of the Banu Haritha, as we had explained previously, that the women and children were kept safe in a fort. So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says that I was in the fort of the Banu Haritha, and together with us was the mother of the famous leader of the Ansar, Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anh. So his mother was with us. And she says that on one occasion, while we were there, Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anh passes by. As he passes by, she says this was قَبْلَ أَن يُضْرَبَ عَلَيْنَا الْحِجَابِ. Before the laws of hijab had been revealed, before the laws of parda. Hence, before explaining what had transpired, she already clears the mind that this was before the laws of parda. And this is something important to understand, that the laws of parda came later in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, perhaps the fifth or sixth year after Hijrah. So many of the incidents that had transpired in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were before the laws of parda. Sometimes people incorrectly look at an incident that had taken place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the laws of parda, and wrongfully deduce from there that it's not important to make parda because there was no parda in this situation. There were no laws of parda revealed at that time. So there was no such issue at that time. There was no question that why did this happen in this manner? Because there were no laws of parda. So nevertheless, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says, قَبْلَ أَن يُضْرَبَ عَلَيْنَا الْحِجَابِ. Before the laws of parda had been revealed, this incident had taken place, that Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anha passes by. And she says, when I looked at the armor on his body, the armor was not covering his body full. So part of his forearm was left exposed. It was not covered with the armor. She says that I said to his mother, the mother of Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anha, that I hope that Sa'd had a full armor. It would have been better, more protective for him if he had a full armor. Then she says that the mother of Sa'd radiallahu anha, when she sees her son going by, she says to her son, Ilhaq ay ibni faqad wallahi akharta. Oh my son, catch up, move on, move quickly, because you have lagged behind, you are delayed, you have remained behind, the other sahaba have gone in front. You should catch up with them and you should join up with them. The point to consider here is Aisha radiallahu anha was concerned about the armor of Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anha not covering him fully. But his mother was not concerned about this. Her concern was that my son must not lag behind in fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the efforts of deen, in giving his time and his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should not be lagging behind, he should not be remaining behind. Never mind if his armor is not covering his full body. That was not her concern. Her concern was that my son must not remain behind from achieving the great rewards that the other sahaba radiallahu anhu are achieving. And it so happened, the concern of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha came out to be true, that on one of the occasions when the kuffar were firing their arrows, Sayyidina Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was struck with one arrow. And it was he was struck with this arrow on one of the main arteries that were on his forearm. And when this arrow struck him, this wound continuously bled. Sayyidina Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, oh Allah, if there's still going to be more wars and more battles against the Quraysh, if there will be more battles in the future against the Quraysh, then oh Allah, spare my life and allow me to live on. Because he says that the thing that is most beloved to me is to fight against those people that have adhaw rasulak wa kazzabuhu wa akhraju, to fight against those people that have hurt and harmed your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have denied your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have expelled your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah Mukarrama. This is the most beloved thing to me, that I fight against these people. And oh Allah, if there is no more, there are no more going to be any wars against them in the future, فَجْعَلْهُ لِي شَهَادَةً, then let this be a means of my martyrdom. I don't need to live anymore in the future if there's no fight against these people. But then he makes one more request. And he says, وَلَا تُمِتْنِي حَتَّى تُقِرَّ عَيْنِي مِنْ بَنِي قُرَيْضَ. Oh Allah, don't allow me to pass away until my eyes are cooled with regards to the Banu Qurayza. The Banu Qurayza that had broken their pledge with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They deserted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the 11th hour. And they became such a threat to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they were an enemy from within. Oh Allah, do not allow me to pass away until I see revenge being taken from them. The point here to take again is that the concern was the concern of deen. That if I live, I must live for deen. And if there's no deeny work for me to be living for, then I don't need to be living anymore. No, a normal person, he will desire, oh Allah, let me see my grandchildren. Let me see my great-grandchildren. That will be his concern. Oh Allah, this investment of mine must mature. And I must see the proceeds of that investment. I must enjoy that. I must enjoy from the fruits of that investment of mine. Then I can go from this world. We will have material dreams and aspirations. Here the Sahabi says that, oh Allah, if there's no more fighting against the Quraysh, then there's no need for me to be living anymore. And oh Allah, just allow me to see revenge being taken from these people that had traitored your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it so happened thereafter, Sayyiduna Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu after revenge was taken from the Banu Qurayza, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken him from this world. As the siege continued, whilst it was difficult for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was also beginning to become difficult for the Quraysh. Because now they are remaining here for so long, their provisions were running out. So Abu Sufyan says to Huyay bin Akhtab, the main instigator, that now our provisions are running out, our fodder for our animals are running out, is running out. So why don't you make some type of arrangements for us? Huyay bin Akhtab goes to the leader of the Banu Qurayza, Ka'ab bin Asad Quradhi, and he explains to him the predicament of the Quraysh. In order for them to continue with the siege, they will require these kind of provisions, they will require these resources. So, very willingly, Ka'ab bin Asad says that whatever wealth we have, it's for you. You can do as you please. And he says to Huyay bin Akhtab that tell the Quraysh that they should send 20 camels. We will load these camels with provisions and then we will send it back to them. So accordingly, the Quraysh had sent these 20 camels. The Banu Qurayza loaded these camels with barley, with dates, with straw as fodder for the animals. And as these 20 camels were going back, there was a group of Ansari Sahaba radiallahu anhum, also approximately 20 Ansari Sahaba, that went to attend to a janazah. Someone had passed away, so they went to attend to this janazah. They left the trench and went to attend to this janazah. And en route they passed by these 20 camels laden with provisions and being led to the Quraysh. There was a small encounter that had taken place. And these Sahaba radiallahu anhum gained the upper hand. And when they gained the upper hand, they took these 20 camels as booty. They see and attend to the burial and to the janazah that they were going for. And then they take these 20 camels to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was a very great financial help and assistance for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because they ate from the food that was there. And they even slaughtered some of those camels. It came to them as booty. They slaughtered some of those camels and they ate from that. When this had taken place, then Abu Sufyan mentioned that Huyay is an extremely is a person of a lot of bad luck. He's a very unfortunate person. He's causing so much of problems for us. Now the camels that we would have used to load our goods on and go back to Makkah Mukarramah, these camels have been lost as well. During this time, when the fear was very severe and the threat was very, very great, on one occasion the Sahaba radiallahu anhum say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هَلْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ نَقُولُهُ فَقَدْ بَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there something that we can read? In our terms, is there some wazifa that we can read? Because the fear is gone so severe that our hearts are in our mouths. Extreme fear. So what can we read in order to draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to relieve us from this fear? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhum on this occasion the dua, Allahumma astur awratina wa amin rawatina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them that make this dua, Allahumma astur awratina. O Allah, you cover our faults. O Allah, cover our faults. It can also mean, O Allah, cover our weak areas. وَآمِن رُوعَاتِنَا. And O Allah, give us safety, give us security from the fears that we have. And this is a very it's a very effective dua. When a person is in some type of situation of fear, then to make this dua, this will draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma astur awratina wa amin ru'atina. And then the narration goes on to mention that very shortly thereafter, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came in the form of very severe winds that came and uprooted the Quraysh. Inshallah, we will discuss this in the future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Sahaba radiallahu anhum the best of reward for the sacrifices they made. Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu an was the backbone of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a great pillar of strength for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the occasion of Badr, it was him who had spoken on behalf of the Ansar, who had given Rasulullah sallam the assurance that the Ansar will move with you wherever you move. During the occasion of Khandaq, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought of giving the produce of Madina Munawwara to the Ghatfan, feeling sorry for and taking pity on the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Again, it was the Sahabi Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu an who had given Rasulullah some the assurance that we will not give anything to these people. The only thing we will give them is the sword. In this way, he had protected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a great